to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Feel free to call in 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. We'll start the show talking a bit about the missing girl in California, Danielle Van Dam, and her sexually immoral parents. And Saddam Hussein says he'll stand with Iran against America if we attack Iran. Saddam, we're going to attack you first. And also, Fox News, a quote from Fox News about our Israel's pressure on Yasser Arafat being counterproductive, because it turns out that his own police officers are becoming terrorists. Counterproductive? That's what you want to do. Flush out the rats. You want to expose them for who they are. So some of these stories in the news, and our phone number, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. This past week, Doug McBurney and I were talking about the girl in California, Danielle Van Dam, who's missing. Real tragic, sad story. Beautiful young girl. And the night she disappeared, her mother, Brenda, was out dancing at a local bar with a neighbor, David Westerfield. And supposedly, well, she came home, and as I've heard it in the media, we don't know that all the details are accurate, but the front door was ajar, her daughter's bedroom door was ajar, and she just shut the doors, and the husband saw that the burglar alarm had been triggered, but he didn't think anything of it and just turned it off. And so we pointed out on the show Friday night, Doug McBurney and I, something that I've been pointing out on Bob and Your Live for 10 years, that when a couple, when a mother, a father is sexually immoral, let's say a mother is sexually immoral, her children become at more significant risk, greater risk of becoming the victims of a crime. We have been saying that forever. So now Brenda and Damon Van Dam are in the news. They've been in the news all day today. They're on Larry King Live right now. And they're defending themselves because the news is out that not just the Mrs., but the Mr. also, that they live a sexually immoral lifestyle. And Larry King asked the question. He said, and I don't know what, Larry King's been having Pat Boone and a number of Christians on his show lately. I think he's trying to get better ratings vis-a-vis Fox News. But at any rate, he asked a conservative question. It's not the best question in the world, but more conservative than liberal. He asked, could it be, he's asking the parents who are on a show. And he said, could it be that if you live this kind of life with not being faithful to one another, do you give less attention to your child? And of course, the parents are offended even at the thought of it. And of course, they're just the greatest parents in the world. Now, when a man and a woman, when they're on a quest for a sexual partner, I think pretty much everyone in the audience can identify with, that's a somewhat consuming quest. When you're interested in having different sexual partners, that's rather consuming. Also, it's not everyone would agree with this, only the conservative Christians, the people with wisdom, liberals would disagree with this, many of them, but it's emotionally unhealthy to go out with different partners, different sexual partners. It's unhealthy. And the sexually immoral crowd is a much more dangerous crowd. And it's a much less happy crowd, less fulfillment. And they don't even live as long. You know that country western song, Lovers Live Longer? The point is, married lovers, that's the point. And it's true. Married people live a lot longer and they're a lot happier. So what a tragedy that this little girl is missing, Danielle Van Dam. And in the analysis we made on the show Friday night is the Van Dams are being challenged, but sadly, not specifically enough. The mother should be told that when a mother is unfaithful to her husband, that her children become much more significantly at risk of being victims of crimes, of being raped, assaulted, murdered, kidnapped. Now, how do we know this? Because we've been following it in the news for 20 years. Bob and Yart Live, the number 1-800-8-N-YARTS, 1-800-836-9278. All right, we also have CNN, a liberal on CNN, said this quote. I got it down, I think verbatim, as it was said, about Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. The liberal said, if there is some doubt, we need to treat the detainees as prisoners of war. If there's any doubt, treat them as prisoners of war. In other words, give them more rights than they would have as detainees. And that reminded me of Ronald Reagan when he's talking about an unborn child. And he says, if you don't know when life begins, then give the unborn the benefit of the doubt and don't kill them. Now that's a conservative trying to reason with a liberal about killing a little baby. If you say you don't know when life begins, you biologically ignorant fool, then give the baby the benefit of the doubt and don't kill him. But the same liberal who fights for the right to kill the baby will say, if there's some doubt, then treat detainees as prisoners of war. If there's any doubt whatsoever. Oh, brother. And when we come back, I want to tell you what we heard on Fox News. One of their reporters in Jerusalem, Jennifer Griffin. And, well, I'll give you the quote now. Maybe we'll talk about it after the commercial break. But she said that the political pressure on Yasser Arafat is almost counterproductive. For now, she says, for now, we see on the ground here that his own police officers, the Palestinian Authority, are helping Hamas and Islamic Jihad, two terrorist groups. And so that's how shallow so many in the news media are, especially on Fox News. What if you've smoked out the terrorists, if you find out that the PLO is terrorist, that's good news.
Some people believe that Christians can speak in tongues. Some people believe that speaking in tongues has passed away. Are we saved by grace alone, or are there works involved? Some people believe that miracles are happening today. Others don't. How can all these disagreements come from the Bible if it's the inspired Word of God? Is there an answer to all these questions? In his book, The Plot, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, shows you the one Bible verse that solves all the apparent contradictions. Think that one verse can't solve these complex problems? Get The Plot today, and if you're not convinced, we will refund your money. Order The Plot for $29.95. Does God want the government to execute criminals? The Old Testament supports the death penalty, but now we are to turn the other cheek, right? The New Testament material concerning the death penalty starts in Matthew and continues through all the Gospels, Acts and Romans. It goes all through to Revelation. God and the Death Penalty is the video we've produced to arm you with the New Testament support for executing criminals. If the death penalty is immoral, then what does that say of God the Father demanding that Jesus Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? God and the Death Penalty, a two-hour video exploring the biblical support of the death penalty, is available for $24.95 by calling 1-888-8-ENYART. Bob Enyart Live is back on the air, but to stay on the air and grow, we need to hear from you. We offer many products with Bob's insightful and unique biblical perspective. If you appreciate Bob's ministry, let us know by writing us at Bob Benyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado 80001, or go online to KGOV.com.
Our phone number here at Bob Benyart Live, 1-888-8-N-Yart, 1-888-836-9278. Oh, come on, there has to be a picture with this story? Gross. Gross me out. Oh, man. Okay, scientists have uncovered the oldest fossilized vomit ever. They've got 160-million-year-old throw-up. Gross. They say it's from the Jurassic era, and it's ichthyosaurs have threw up, and I guess they have quite a lot of it. I'd like to know how much of it they have, actually. They said it's just a huge pile, copious quantities. And the way the article is written, it sounds like it's from more than one dinosaur. Now, how could that be? I'd like to know. Inquiring minds want to know. And I wonder if there's anything in this throw up that can be thrown up to the evolutionists, since we have these ongoing debates with them that evolution and their time frame of dinosaurs living 100 million years ago is wrong. They did not live 100 million years ago. They lived thousands of years ago, not millions. How many people are going to send me the dinosaur vomit article? Okay. All right. Okay, now I got an email here from Scott, from wherever Scott is. Bob, here's an article on dinosaur vomit that was miraculously preserved. And it's a good point. Things don't just fossilize. And all over the world, there are billions of fossils of things that would not fossilize. Obviously, fossils were laid down in a hurry in a worldwide catastrophic event. And the evidence for that is overwhelming. Let's go to Bristol, Indiana. Samuel, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Howdy.
We love your show in Bristol, Indiana.
I'm thrilled to hear that, Samuel.
I got a problem.
All right.
My aunt, she's a lesbian. She lives out in California.
You do have a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's living with this girl. It's her girlfriend. I think her name's Melissa or Michelle. I'm not sure.
All right.
But my aunt had just got her girlfriend covered on her health insurance.
Right.
And now they're trying to get, now I guess her girlfriend is like trying to get artificially inseminated.
Oh, that's just wonderful.
And the whole process is like real involved. Her, like, one of these labs she's been going to, they can trace prospective donors' DNA back like 5 generations.
And yeah.
The whole process is real involved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd like to stop her. I don't think they should be allowed to have kids.
Right.
And also, I was wondering if this is this something our taxes pay for? As far as...
Well, you know, the American Pediatrics Association has just come out with a statement saying they believe that homosexuals should have the right to adopt children.
That's horrible.
Yeah, of course it's horrible. And little by little, you know, one thing or the other has to lose in public society, in the open. And it's either Christianity or homosexuality.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, one or the other loses. They can't both be publicly acceptable. So the more homosexuality becomes publicly acceptable, Christianity is losing.
Right, so we're losing big time.
Yeah, so let me give you an example. if the public schools and the media, the universities, if they all succeed in teaching this generation, which they are succeeding overwhelmingly, that homosexuality is completely acceptable. If they succeed in doing that, what they've done is inoculated kids against Jesus Christ.
That's true.
Yeah, kids are now inoculated against the gospel because the Bible condemns sexual immorality, and specifically and just ferociously it condemns homosexuality.
Absolutely.
As being one of the most vile and perverse of sins. So if kids by the millions are convinced in their public schools that homosexuals are just fine, then what they realize is their parents' religion is utterly wrong.
Right. This is terrible.
Yeah, it's not only wrong, it's cruel. Because how dare these Christians say any unkind word against a homosexual?
Right.
So, but Samuel, most Christians don't realize this. I just got a call today from back east, and I grew up in New Jersey, and led a good number of young people to the Lord in a youth group I started.
Yeah, I know you have.
Oh, you know that story.
I mean, you got a following of young adults who enjoy listening to your program. I know that's true.
Well, yeah, and we've heard from them for years, but I just got bad news today. And actually, we knew about this, but just we were reminded of it today, that a number of Christians that some of these people I brought to the Lord, and just ones that I knew 20 years ago, they really oppose me putting down homosexuals. They say, you know, I could say that it's a sin, and I could tell them we love them and we want them to be saved and we want them to repent, but you can't mock them.
Right.
And what we're trying to do, on Bob and Yurt Live, we know we've succeeded in this because we've heard from countless families that we have inoculated kids in Christian families against homosexuality because they tune into Bob and Yurt Live. They like the show. And
right.
They hear us occasionally stigmatizing homosexuals.
Right. That's how a group, me and some of my friends when we were younger, we used to watch you on TV and we couldn't believe this guy was making fun of gays.
Yeah, because...
And we thought it was great.
Right, because, you know, you could make fun on TV. You could make fun of a priest.
Right.
Or a nun or a minister, but you can't make fun of homosexuals, not anywhere.
Right.
Our Christian political leaders are scared to death of homosexuals. They would never, ever, ever say anything against a homosexual.
Right.
Ever. From George W. Bush on down, you just can't do it in public discourse in America.
Right, it'd be the end of them.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're scared to death. And so they'll give money to homosexual groups. They'll appoint homosexuals to high public office. Anybody who condemns homosexuals will be ridiculed, even in the Republican Party. If a politician stands up and condemns homosexuality, there will be overwhelming pressure for him to apologize
right.
or get thrown out of the party.
Absolutely.
Samuel, how old were you when you started listening in?
Man, I think I was probably about 18.
18 years old.
Back, you were on TV. It was quite a few years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
4 years ago,
yeah.
Maybe. Out here in Bristol, we caught your show up here on PBS.
Yeah. And Samuel, do you remember we used to sell some products?
Gay Away
and Dyke Off.
Yeah.
Gay Away for men and Dyke Off for women.
That was great.
And let me tell the story. I don't know if I told this story on the show recently. I forget what we do in our normal life, what we do on the air, what we do at Denver Bible Church.
Right.
You know, it all gets jumbled up. But let me remind, maybe you remember this. A lesbian called into the show one time and said, Bob, I've been watching your show for a long time. I'm a lesbian, but I want to become a Christian, and I want to know if you can pray with me, and I'll become a Christian.
Okay.
And I said to her, no, I think that's a really bad idea. Don't do that. And she said, what are you talking about? You want people to become Christians, don't you? I said, oh, yeah. She said, well, then why don't we pray and so I can become a Christian? I said, no, I think it'd be better if you bought a can of our Dykoff here and sprayed it on your girlfriend.
Yeah, really.
That would be better. But no, I don't want to pray with you to become a Christian.
Right.
And I know at that point, Samuel, there were a lot of people in the audience who were really angry at me.
Right.
Because
well,
And then we kept her on the phone long enough to where the truth came out that she didn't want to repent of her sexual immorality.
No, of course not.
No, she wanted to be a lesbian Christian.
Of course.
And prove that lesbians are just as acceptable to God as people, heterosexuals who repent of their sins. And she wanted to mock God.
Yeah, of course.
Mock the audience.
I think one of the first shows I ever caught you on TV late night, I think you were cooking eagle eggs.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was pretty great, too. Yeah, but anyways, yeah. I thought you might think this was interesting. I know gays have been adopting children now, but this is the first time you don't hear too much about a lesbian couple trying to have a baby.
You're right.
Terrible.
It's sad and real sad for the baby. Hey, yeah, thank you so much for calling in, Sam.
All right, it was nice talking to you.
God bless you. Bye. Nice young guy out of Bristol, Indiana. Yeah, the Eagle Egg show he saw. We have a real informal show. The crew would come onto the set and talk to me. One night we're doing the show, and this is out of Parker, Colorado, which is really, now it's all built up. But back then it was more like rangeland. And we're doing the show, and a farmer comes and knocks on the door of this studio, and the engineer goes out, and the farmer says, hey, I got these eagle eggs here, and I don't know what to do with them, and the mother eagle is not coming back, and I think they might die. I don't know what to do with them. I figured Bob might know what to do with them. He could call the government or something. So we took the eagle eggs right on. He came right when the show was on. So I got these eagle eggs, and I couldn't sit on them to keep them warm and hatch them. And we tried calling the Denver Zoo, and you just got an answering machine. So I didn't want them to go to waste. So I asked the engineer if in the break room, didn't we have a hot plate? And he brought a hot plate in. And so we cracked them and turned up the hot plate, plugged it in, and put some salt and pepper on them, and they were pretty good. It wasn't bad. Of course, the next day, we got calls from the Colorado Division of Wildlife about why we were cooking eagle eggs on the air. Apparently, they had gotten calls from Fort Collins all the way down to Colorado Springs, people complaining that some TV show was cooking eagle eggs on the air. And a woman called in, a feminist, young gal, 20 or so, and she was so angry for me for doing that. And I said, but come on, these aren't eagles. She said, eagles are endangered. I said, this is not an eagle, this is an egg. And she said, it is too, an eagle. I said, it's not even born yet. When does an eagle become an eagle? I asked her. And she said, just like this, this is how she said it. She said, I guess at the time of conception. In other words, she couldn't hardly get it out, but she got it out. I guess at the time of conception. Huh, what a trip. So anyway, and that's why we did, of course, that's why we did the whole bit with eagle eggs, to show liberals they care about an unborn bird, but not an unborn baby. Goodbye, Denver.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Yeah, you must be them NYOC people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if guy I seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So this is Jordan from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart. So if you could give me a buzz, my name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check my
box. Welcome back, Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. I've got an email here from a Michael in Greenwood, South Carolina, asking me if I believe, he looked at our links on KGov that talk about government, form of government, and how we see the Bible coming down on what kind of a government we should have in America and every country in the world. What does the Bible say about authority flow? And in his email, he asks me, do I think that there should be a freedom of religion? And I'll just answer him over the show here, Michael. Yes, absolutely. There should be freedom of religion. So, there we go. Now let's go to, of course, no religion should be allowed to commit a crime in the name of their God or their religion. Like the people in the Northeast who are, one kid is dead, another kid is missing, and their religion is they don't have to give them basic, simple medical care. And if they get a vision that they don't have to feed them, then they don't have to feed them. And, yeah, the government has the right to stop people from killing their kids or child sacrifice in the name of religion, or the right of doing drugs in the name of their religion. Let's go to the phones. Pennsylvania, Jeff, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well, sir. Thank you.
I was just calling. Heard about the new terrorist attacks. That there's alerts out again for that. Just wondered what your thoughts were, if you even heard that there was new alerts out as possible terrorist attacks as early as Tuesday, they say, or tomorrow.
Well, right now I'll go to the FBI website and take a look. But no, I hadn't heard.
Okay.
What? So they say there might be, you know, so far all the alerts, thankfully, have led to no specific attacks.
Right.
And so let's hope that continues that way. When the public and the police and the military are on alert, there's it gives terrorists pause.
Mm-hmm.
they hesitate, and so that's one reason that the government issues these alerts.
Hey, I got some news for you. In our local town here, we had a lady that was caught embezzling from a bank over a period of time. I think it was 8 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
She embezzled almost $590,000.
Right.
And the judge sentenced her to a year and a day, but it just was the front page of our newspaper here a few days ago that she was released for good behavior.
In 6 months.
Well, she was actually in there 10 months, 10 and a half months.
All right.
And now when she gets out, her penalty is she only pays back the $589,000, but she only has to pay back 10% of whatever she would earn off her gross pay now that she's released from prison.
Yeah, that's sad, right? That makes it crime does pay.
Absolutely. Well, her argument was that she had a significantly reduced mental capacity, bipolar, a few other things going on in
her life.
Hey,
she was smart enough to steal all that money.
Well, yeah, she had a bipolar, obsessive-compulsive, impulsive control, borderline personality, independent personality,
mm-hmm.
but she worked for the bank for a number of years without any bad reviews or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
and so she could function well, you know.
Yeah, everybody, right, not everybody, but so often their defense is, the devil made me do it, I didn't know what I was doing, I was temporarily insane. You know, all the people who plead temporary insanity,
yeah.
It's interesting that it's virtually always, 99.9% of the time, it's in a murder case.
Sure.
Why isn't it ever used in, let's say, for not coming to a full stop at a stop sign? or a shoplifting case? Why
don't
you go
to
traffic court?
Question.
Why don't we go to traffic court and plead temporary insanity? Why is it that when people go temporarily insane, they only murder?
Right.
Why don't they spray paint their neighbor's house?
I don't know, Bob.
Yeah, our whole system is a scam.
Yeah.
And this woman, what should happen is she should have to pay restitution. She should have to pay not 10%.
Sure, not more than 10% on what she makes.
Yeah, she should have to pay double. And if she can't afford it, then God laid out a system in the Bible where you become an indentured servant for 7 years. And all of your earnings go toward your victim. And then when it's over, it's over. And
yeah.
She wouldn't have paid back everything, but she would have lived for 7 years and not getting ahead at all herself, just getting room and board.
Yeah.
And all her pay would go to the bank in this case.
Sure.
Yeah, and that would be justice.
Yeah.
Our system is tragic. Hey,
I work in a bank, and I was thinking of calling this judge up and asking if I could hawk $500,000, could I get out in less than a year? Because
that's
sure help put my kids through college. And
that's a great idea. Jeff, come on. That is a great idea. Let's do that.
But I can go a little bit insane for a few months.
What's
so
that?
Get it all.
What's that judge's name? We should call up and get his voicemail. Do you know the judge's name?
Judge Ambrose. I don't know his first name. I probably could go back to the paper, but I know his last name is Ambrose.
Ambrose. And where is this in Pennsylvania?
It actually took place in western Pennsylvania, but I don't think the trial must have been held down near Pittsburgh, I'm assuming, you know, a federal court, because that would be, you know, a federal crime, embezzlement.
Right,
but
right.
I'd have to go back 10 months ago to see exactly where the trial was held. I just know it was kind of an outroar.
That's right.
In the community, when the sentence was laid out,
mm-hmm.
Just basically the same things you said. How could somebody be competent to run manage a branch office for a number of years, and have the mindset to be able to take this money,
right?
But, turn around at the same breath and say, that's why I did it.
Right. Exactly.
So it's crazy. I have another question for you, Bob.
Yeah. And by the way, the FBI does not have this latest alert on their website yet.
Okay.
And was this in was this in Sharon, Pennsylvania?
What's that?
The
embezzlement?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
U.S. District Judge Donetta W. Ambrose.
Okay.
And it was National Citibank's Farrell branch.
That's correct.
So maybe we could get Judge Ambrose's voicemail and leave a message asking if we committed a crime in his district against the bank, if we could get the same deal.
Yeah.
All right, we'll work on that.
the news alert anyway. I'm watching MSNBC, ready to watch Making Sense with Alan Keith here in a few minutes.
Oh, he's great, isn't he?
Well, I can't believe he's on cable television.
Well, and you know why he is.
They want to mock him.
No.
Well, why?
Why is he on there? Because Fox News is mopping up the ratings because they're appealing to conservatives.
Okay.
And so Fox would have absolutely no reason to put on somebody as conservative as Ellen Keyes because where are the conservatives going to go? They're stuck with Fox.
Well, absolutely.
And so MSNBC needs to try to get some of those conservative viewers tuning in there so they put Ellen Keyes on.
Well, I think he's a true conservative. What Fox has, I don't count true conservative.
Yeah, O'Reilly is...
Talking about O'Reilly or Hannity, Sean Hannity.
Hannity, you know, they're both Catholics.
Yeah.
And Hannity is way more conservative than O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was on Hannity's radio show, WABC, in New York for an hour some months back, and my son Nathaniel was on, too, for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And it was about spanking.
Uh-huh.
And he and I were fighting for an hour about spanking, and he was saying, well, I believe in spanking, but sort of the gentle kind that doesn't really hurt. And so we beat him up for an hour on a show, and then he talked about spanking on a recent program just a couple weeks ago, and he was much more pro-spanking than he had been 6 months ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, so, you know, we might have nudged him to the right a little more than he had been.
Somebody needs to once in a while there.
Yeah, but O'Reilly, he's too pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, anti-death penalty, he didn't like the Clinton administration, but that doesn't really qualify you as a conservative. So, all right, anything else, Jeff?
Just real quick, Bob, and I know maybe you don't even want to talk about this on air, and that's fine, we'll let it go. Just a question, because I've read your book, you know, some of your material, especially the plot, which, you know, is just great.
Well, that's very kind of you. Normally, we don't get too much into theological debates on the show.
And I really don't want to. I just have a general question.
Yeah.
Why do you think this sort of thing, you know, the rightly dividing God's
word is
less accepted? I mean, why can't you seem to find that very... You have to go a long ways to find it.
All right, let me... Now, Jeff, you know, Christianity is split up into so many divisions, and people who go to different denominations that believe different things, whether they believe you can lose your salvation or you're eternally secure, preservation of the saints, or you should speak in tongues or you shouldn't, or there should be miracles or there are no miracles, or you'll be raptured or not, or before or during or after the tribulation. So many millions of Christians believe millions of things, and most of them don't even understand an overview of what the Bible's all about.
Right.
So they start fighting about the details, and they never took the time to get an overview of the Bible first. And so that's what the plot does. And why don't people know it? They don't take the time.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23. Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christlike, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents, based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Enyart rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing, delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
Hey, you know, I'm wondering if maybe we could try to call this judge, Danetta Ambrose. Now, she's in Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh's area code is 412. So I'm going to bring up the phone here and try and dial. Here, let me change lines here. By the way, our phone number is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. All right, here we go. Calling information.
City and state.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Thank you. What listing, please?
U.S. Federal Judge, Federal Court, Judge Danetta Ambrose.
Please wait while the operator looks for that number.
Sure, we'll wait. Wait, we're on the air. You can't have dead air on radio. Let's see how fast they are.
One moment.
Hello?
Yes, sir, I'm looking.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. You just make a phone call and get a phone number. It's great.
Well, hopefully it's going to work that way.
Yeah. I remember when I was a teenager, I used to call information up in Anchorage, Alaska, and ask them what the weather was like.
Really?
That was from
your parents loved that.
That was from New Jersey. I thought it was so cool to call that far.
I'm not finding anything for a
really judge,
federal judge.
Judge Ambrose. It's U.S. District Court. And,
Okay, here we go.
Oh, good.
I had to put, usually it doesn't pull up the name, but this time it did.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The number is area code 412-208-7350. The number is area code 412-208-7350.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, there we go. Now let me try. Let's see. I got an email here. Bob, will liberals call us the American Taliban? Okay, when liberals call us the American Taliban, will that backfire on them, as conservatives calling liberals communists in the 1950s backfired on conservatives? Good question. And that did backfire on us, didn't it? Okay, I'm gonna dial the phone again. Now, we have some people in the audience who like to be smart Alex when we get phone numbers on the air, and they call them first. They beat us to it. But hopefully we'll get through to the voicemail. Danetta Ambrose. Let's see. Okay, former manager at National Citibank's Farrell branch. Hello? Okay, I think I'm going to dial again. I'll dial again. Let's see what happens here. 412-208-7350. All right. Odetta Paxi was the criminal. She sobbed in court for embezzling $589,000. Three ringy dingies. What's going on here?
You've reached the chambers of the Honorable Danetta W. Ambrose. We cannot take your call at this time. Please leave your name, number, and a brief message, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
Hello, Judge Ambrose. My name is Bob Enyart on KGov Radio in Denver, Colorado. We're on the air right now. My phone number is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. We just had a call on the air from someone in Pennsylvania asking us, wanted us to ask you a question that regarding the National City Bank embezzlement for over $500,000 and the relatively small amount that the criminal, the thief, had to pay back. And here's the question. One of our listeners would like to know if he can get that same kind of deal, the same kind of return on his time and investment if he robs a bank in your jurisdiction, if this is a group deal or if this was a one-time only opportunity. So if you can please give us a call and let us know if our listener in Pittsburgh, he'd like to know if he robs $500,000, if he can, because really it would help him put his kids through college. And of course we know how much, you know, how we hear all the time what a great goal that is. And this guy just doesn't quite make enough money, but if he could just do 1 year and make over $500,000 and just have to pay a small interest payment, a 10% of his income on the principal, then he'd really, he'd like to take you up on that offer if it's an ongoing offer. So if you can let us know, Judge, if that is an ongoing offer, we'd appreciate hearing from you at KGov Radio, KGOV Radio. We cover stories about criminal justice and the government quite a lot. That's why we're KGov. KGOV Radio in Denver, Colorado, the phone number 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. This is Bob Enyart. Thank you so much. Now let's go to South Bend, Indiana. Jim, speak your mind.
Yeah, I was at the library last week, and I was looking at the part of the Dead Sea Scrolls translation.
Yes, sir.
And it was really interesting thing to be reading. It was I read a part about the Book of the Giants by Nabat, which was Noah's father.
All right.
And just now I was reading in I just got to the Book of Job, and they were talking about this animal, the fire-breathing animal.
Well, the Leviathan?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and I was wondering what your thoughts on that. Was the world a whole lot different before the flood?
Well, that animal, it seems like it existed after the flood. But I believe in Job there are two dinosaurs that are being described in the Book of Job. And, you know, evolutionists and people who don't know the Bible, they think that we didn't have any descriptions in human history of dinosaurs until geologists started uncovering fossils of them. However, the Book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible, talks about the behemoth in Job 40 and the Leviathan in Job 41, and these are obviously dinosaurs.
I always had an idea that the old dragon stories went back to some kind of reality, and the Book of Job just confirms my thoughts on that.
Yeah, and Ken Ham would agree with you on that. He has a video on dragons and dinosaurs. And when the Book of Job writes about these creatures, a creature can stand in a raging river, and the water, the river may rage, yet he's not disturbed. And that he has a tail like a cedar tree, and his bones are like beams of bronze, and his ribs are like bars of iron, and no man can hunt him. You know, pretty much sounds like...
Did you hear about the dinosaur they found frozen, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago? They found out that they're mammals, and I think it had 9 stomachs or something.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, they found one. I just barely caught it in the news. Mm-hmm. They didn't make nothing big about it, but they said they found one frozen that confirms that they weren't lizards. They weren't reptiles, or at least this one they found.
Well, let me give you, Jim, let me give you one quote out of the book of Job. Did you just recently read Job?
Yeah, I just got done last night.
Well, two chapters before the dinosaur part is Job 38:31. And you might want to take a look at that because, you know, the constellations that we see in the sky, the many constellations that are up there, they go back, they're ancient. The ancient ones, there's dozens of them. And they have pictures that go back to antiquity. And Job mentions some of them. And
bands of Orion.
Say again? The belt bands of Orion. Yeah, the belt of Orion and the Pleiades. And of all the constellations, about 80-some constellations up there that are ancient, scientists today, astronomers, tell us only two of them are gravitationally bound. And I know you know what that means, but let me explain it to any public school teachers listening. Just like the Earth is gravitationally bound to the sun, we're pulling on one another, so the Earth can't get away. Well, the constellations, two of the 80-some constellations are gravitationally bound, the Pleiades and the Belt of Orion, where those stars are locked. They're holding one another in place. And Job 38:31, God asks this question to prove how great he is and how small man is. God says, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? What a statement. Talk about only two out of 80 constellations are gravitationally bound, and here is the oldest book in the Bible. Surely they couldn't have known that by any of man's abilities, but God created the universe and our galaxy, and he knows the Pleiades and Orion's belt because he made it, and he knew that of all the constellations, those were the two that are gravitationally bound. So he says, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion?
Yeah, there's all kinds of proof like that.
You're right. And we're out of time now, Jim. We're out of time, so thank you. But that's right. The Bible is filled with overwhelming evidence that it was written by God. By God. Well, the Jews wrote it? Yeah. But the Jews were incredibly honest about saying how they constantly rebelled against God. And even their leaders were sinners. And so many of them were utterly despicable. Why would a people make up a book and it becomes the book of their existence, their identity, their heritage, and on every page it condemns them? If people are just going to make up a story when they make themselves look good, the same thing with the apostles in the New Testament. If they're just making this stuff up, don't make yourselves look so incompetent. But the Bible, the Old and New Testament, was written by people who were honest about the failures they were in the flesh, and only in God could they find salvation, and both Old and New Testament build up to the Messiah to be the only man who ever lived who was sinless and perfect. And he died not for his own sins, but for the sins of those who would believe in him. So you have an opportunity, either one day stand before God on your own, naked and defenseless, answering for your sins, or stand before God with Jesus Christ as your advocate, saying to the Father, I took his punishment. And then you'll be let in. It's up to you. Sometimes it takes humility to receive a free gift, but that's what God is offering you. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.